Blog Talk Radio.
Regulators. We regulate any stealing of his property. We're damn good, too. But you can't be any geek off the street. Gotta be handy with the steel, if you know what I mean. Earn your keep.
Regulators! Mount up.
What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to another episode of The Betting Window on the Nerdport Network. I am your host, Effin Ronnie, and with me, as always, is nobody. As of right now, anyway. This is the first time you have listened to us. Thank you. And where have you been? But just so everybody knows, this is a sports podcast that we kind of go on the angle of sports betting and sports news. On today's episode, we talk about the NCAA playoff picture. We talk some Major League Baseball offseason stuff because the season is officially over. And we start taking a deep dive into, well, pretty much what is going on in the world of sports. And, oh, boy, can we – all right. You know what? Let's start with the elephant in the room, per se. And that has got to be with – so, there's a little East Coast bias on this show, just so people actually know that. Myself, Christian, the Zombie Master, and good old – Stuntcock over there are pretty much East Coast boys. One's in St. Louis. The rest are up in Jersey. So we get a lot of New York news. Why is that important? Because we dive into how to describe it. We were jam-packed with the Mets news of them losing out on Craig Counsell for the Mets managerial position and going to the Chicago Cubs. Quite frankly, don't blame him. He was able to get 5 years. he got 5 years, $40 million from the Chicago Cubs. So he got exactly what he wanted out of the entire deal, and he doesn't have to leave his home. That's pretty much the reason he didn't want to come to New York. He did not want to leave the countryside. Or he didn't want to leave the, like, out by his house. And the outlandish crap that I've been hearing from, say, WFAN, the people on Twitter. Twitterverse is just going nuts about this. And I don't understand why. People, it's a... who the fuck cares? Okay. Is it a first-time managerial guy that's doing a first-time managerial position? Yes. But do you want to know where he was before this? With the New York fucking Yankees managing as a bench coach, managing the egos of people like Aaron Judge and dealing with all that. And guess what? That's not what a manager is. It's not, oh, can he make the team better? Does he know what to do? It's managing egos. And he's actually, he's been the bridesmaid. This, okay, I'll give you another guy that's like that. Eric Bieniemy in the NFL. Dude's been the bridesmaid for God knows how long, and, well, he's still waiting for a job. Still. So, okay, what's the difference between this? Oh, because it's the Mets? People, Twitter, people, Relax. We're just starting the offseason, too. We don't need people freaking out saying, oh, well, the Mets are going to, like, oh, Ella, lull the Mets, lull this. We haven't had anything that happened yet. We need the chill. God forbid, I don't need Joanna coming out here and saying stuff about the Mets. Well, you know what? Oh, stop, Joanna. No, we're not having you yet. Wait until Stuntcock gets here. Oh, the Stuntcock. No, I'm going to have him call your mother, too. You wouldn't dare. Oh, I mean, I could also have him call the devil. I told you, you wouldn't dare. Oh, I dare. Watch me. Stay in your cage. Stay in your lane. Oh, well, whatever. You know, hey, Craig Counsell ended up being part of the Cubs, so I can actually enjoy that while the stunt cock fucking goes nuts. Oh, Jesus Christ, Joanna. Why? Why do we have to? Why do we have to start shit? Well, you know what? It doesn't really matter, because if it's not the stunt cock, I'm going to go after Raider Dave tonight so bad. So we'll see where that leads to. Oh, really? You're going to go after Raider Dave? For what? Well, he's a Raiders fan. Yeah, for 2 years. He's a lifelong Vegas Raider. He doesn't know anything about the L.A. Raiders or the Oakland Raiders. But that's not my problem. You're going to go after the guy. Why? Well, we'll see what happens when he gets here. But move on to the next story, Dal. We'll see what things pick up. Oh, good God, Joanna. Why? Why? Do not start shit tonight. Why? I'm on my best behavior. Oh, yeah. Sure you are, Joanna. Sure you are. You're never on your best behavior. You're on your best behavior like a certain someone that is in the wrestling business needs money or, you know, going to jail. I thought you were going to tell them the names. No, we ain't talking about those names.
Hi, welcome to Chili's.
Well, Chili's would at least be better than this. All right. Well, then, we'll say, Joanna, like you said, we will move on. But yes, the Mets actually did, like I said, the Mets did end up getting a manager in the first place, and it is Carlos, who has been working through the minor leagues and working through all minor leagues. He was a bench coach for the Yankees as well as other divisions in the world of baseball. Last stop, like I said, was the bench coach with the Yankees. Gee, egos. Kind of helps. Oh, jeez. All right. What else do we got in the world of baseball? Well, broke 3 hours ago. Bryce Harper is looking to play first base exclusively, which looks like it's going to end Bryce Hoskins' Philly tenure. I don't know what Hoskins' contract looks like, if he's going to be traded or just cut. Let's find out. Bear with me. Russ Hoskins contract details. There we go. $60 million. How many years? 4 years. When is he a free agent? That's an interesting thing right now. There we go. Your contract is four years, $60 million. When did you sign it, Royce? Or Rice, however you pronounce it. This would be his final year. Next, no. 2024, he's an unrestricted free agent. So, age 31, coming off an injury, is going to be it looks like he is a free agent this year. So, they're going to walk away with him going to another team, because they're not going to re-sign him. Huh! where could he go that would be a good fit? Who would need a first baseman? Let's see. Need a first baseman. Baltimore? Yeah, he... Oh, fuck you. Houston could use a first baseman. That's interesting. San Diego? He's not going to San Diego. You could throw that out there. Unless he's going to take a one-year deal. He ain't going to San Diego because San Diego is looking to start selling.
And dummy. Yeah,
they're idiots. Apparently the owner took out a $50 million loan to cover payroll. Again.
Dummy. Yeah.
Because, God forbid, you spent all that money trying to get yourself a World Series ring. Couldn't do it. So, yeah.
Canadians are weird.
Whoops, sorry.
Dummy. Yeah.
He's not going there. Best landing spot for him? Probably Milwaukee. In all honesty, probably would be Milwaukee or Cleveland. Because he's not going to go to Chicago. If he's going to try to win a ring, it won't be in Chicago. Baltimore with that. Baltimore could definitely use a guy like him. I don't know who's coming up through the minor league system, but I think, yeah. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what happens because he's going to be someone we definitely keep an eye on. Braves hired, where are you? Other news, Braves. Hired a new bench manager, it looks like. Let me see if this had... I doubt it right now, but I don't know if any of the managerial stuff will take effect on what the baseball. So, like I said, if you're new to this, I dive into the odds. So I look at what next year is going to look like. So the Rangers just won the World Series. And right now, it looks like the Atlanta Braves are your favorite to win it again next year. The Rangers, I said the Braves won it. The Texas Rangers won it this year. Congratulations. Next year, Atlanta Braves are the preseason favorites. Let's not get it twisted. We still got to go through the whole offseason, and we don't know what we're going to get. And hello, Ryan.
What's up, buddy?
Oh, hello there, Stuntcack.
Oh, God, not you.
Hey, it's been lonely over here. I needed someone to talk to.
You know what? It's kind of funny that you're here already because, you know, like I told Ronnie, the reason I'm a few minutes late here is because there was a really long line at the dispensary. And when I get up to the register, I find out is that your fucking mother's there trying to pay with food stamps.
Oh, she's so caring.
What are you talking about? She wasn't there to get anything for you.
Oh, you said that those food stamps were meant for me. So she's buying my fucking shit as well as yours, as hers.
I was about to say, she didn't buy my shit. I buy my own shit.
Well, no, she offered something else for her to give you the weed.
Which is why I go to a dispensary, sir.
And that's why she's so caring.
Not that caring. She held up the line, I was late to the show, and I'm pretty sure she was following me home.
Well, yeah, she followed you home because she wants that good. She wants to understand why the reason they call you the stunt cock.
Never going to find out why they call me the stunt cock because I swear to God, it looks like a fucking mammal flying behind us.
Well, you know, the one thing she just texted me, she asked me, what's a Nubian? and I looked at that text going, why does she need to know?
I don't know.
All right, Juwan, are you done talking? Yeah. I'm done talking. I'll go away for a little bit. I'll wait till Raider Dave comes out.
Oh, God. You know Raider Dave hates you.
I know. That's the best part.
You are a sick woman.
You know, bibbidi-boppity, I'm getting my ass out of this jalopy.
Bibbidi-boppity, bitch be gone.
Bitch, tip for a tasket. Bitch, get the fuck out of the basket.
Just get a tasket. Something, something, Cody Rhodes.
Whoa! No, so right now I actually am just talking about MLB and how the holy bullshit of how the Twitterverse and New York City Radio is going nuts about the hiring of Carlos Mendoza.
Oh, God.
And how...
I would go crazy, too. That name is synonymous with baseball.
Oh, yeah.
And not for good reason.
No, but, I mean, at the same time, too, it could be worse. I mean, Craig Counsell is now the manager of the Cubs, but he's getting paid $40 million for 5 years.
Okay.
And he doesn't have to leave his home.
Well, he can suck on my left nut.
Well, everyone was freaking out. And by the way, hello, Christian.
What's up?
Nothing.
What's up?
Counsell's the manager of the Cubbies now.
Who gives a shit?
Apparently he does, because everyone's flipping out. Because, oh, he used the Mets. He used the Mets. Oh, my God, he used the Mets. Oh, I get used all the time. Shut up, Joanna. Get the fuck back
Shut
in your
up,
cage.
Juwan.
Okay, the Mets got used. Who the fuck cares? He never wanted – if there were no other jobs, he would have came to New York. But he didn't want to uproot his family.
Mm-hmm.
That was the main reason. He didn't want to move his wife and kids to New York. Because it's not like football, where football, you can go back and then come back, it's 3 months. It's 3-4 months. Baseball, it's every fucking day you're on the road.
Right.
You think he doesn't want, he's lived that life before. You think he wants to do it again?
Maybe, maybe not. We don't know.
I think that's why he took the Cub job.
I mean, it's probably got something to do with it, let's be honest.
But let's face it. Mendoza got this hire. He was a bench coach for the Yankees. The one thing that no one is talking about right now, and I'll bring it up now, is what does that have in – what – as a manager, what is good about this?
Counsel to the Cubs?
No. Mendoza to the Mets.
Oh, Christian, what do you got?
What?
So Carlos Mendoza just got signed by the Mets. He's the new manager of the Mets.
Is he really?
Yes.
Wow.
Coming off of being a bench coach with the Yankees.
Wow.
I think
that's a great move.
Because the one thing that is, what he doesn't realize, what people don't realize, because good old John, he's not here right now. He's taking a sick day. He was saying he doesn't like the move. He doesn't trust the move. The one thing that no one is talking about, and the FAN is not talking about this, no one's talking about this, is the whole thing about managers nowadays is you have to manage egos.
Mm-hmm.
And no offense, Christian, what do the Yankees have?
A whole bunch of nothing.
A whole bunch of egos.
Yeah.
So he understands what it is to win in, air quotes, win in New York. He understands how to manage egos.
Yeah.
And he understands he understands the game because he's played it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He, maybe not for long, but he did play in the, I think he played in the majors for like 3 years, didn't he?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. So he understands all of it. Okay, it's his first time as a manager. Okay. But you don't think he was not learning from Boone, and you don't think he's not going to go out and try to hire, like, a Carlos Beltran as his bench coach?
Be smart.
Another guy that lived, that learned under... Another guy that learned under fucking Booney. Like, I'm... This is not... This is... Everyone's like, oh, this is another Taco Tuesday old... No, no. This is not another good old Moises Alou family tree situation.
Yeah.
This is a very good wait-and-see moment, though. We don't know what this is going to be. But I think there's more upside than downside to this.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
Now, the question is he going to be a straight puppet? Or is he going to be a manager?
Yeah. Yeah, that is to be determined.
I think it's going to be a little bit of both. I think he's going to be the puppet on what he should do, but I think when it comes to the game, he's not going to be told, like, great example is, like, look at what happened with Buck, where he was being told from higher-ups that he had to play certain players.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you're going to get that. I think you're going to get them suggesting stuff, but I think the final call is going to be your manager.
Yeah.
There's always going to be some on-the-job training. It happens. It happens with the best of them. I think it's interesting.
A little bit, yeah. I'm excited to see what happens.
Yeah. But no, Christian, what's your opinion on it? What do you think? And would that also add counsel, like, if you want to talk on top of that, if you want to talk about counsel?
I mean, nah, from what I'm hearing, I heard the Cubs did...
They did Ross dirty.
Yeah, because they said he was coming back, and then they give him the axe for this? Wow. And, you know, Rossi is pretty loved out there. You know, this goes back to the year they won it in 2016, but to do that, nah, man, that's not cool.
The one thing that's interesting, though, is, well, Stroman just declined his qualifying offer, his last year, so he's a free agent this year.
True.
Do you bring him back, or does he try to go and find something?
Who, Ross?
Well, Ross is going to probably get the Cleveland job.
No, they already hired somebody. Yeah, Cleveland hired
Who?
Voight, I think.
Okay. You know what? Let me see if, what was his first name? What was Ross's first?
No, David.
Oh. See if I see anything on David Ross.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing yet. So he hasn't been, looking like he might try to, no, he's not going to look at anything from the Dodgers. The Dodgers don't need anything. I would not be shocked. I don't know where he would go, because right now there's who needs a manager?
Houston?
Yeah, because he retired, didn't he?
Yeah. Going after, here, let me see who Houston's interviewed for their managerial position.
San Diego.
Yeah, I can see that. I don't know if he'd be able to handle all those personalities.
The Angels?
They already hired someone.
Around
Washington.
That's out. Stros with Dusty Baker being gone. The Brewers.
Yeah, how funny would that be?
Yeah, and then the last one would be the Padres.
I could see him becoming a Brewers manager.
That would be so fucking ironic.
Yeah, it would be.
But, I mean, I'm also looking at, like, the odds for next year and what popped up. Like, the Rangers are not even your favorites again. It's the Braves. Shocking. Yeah, but I mean, like, you look at it, the two teams that are going to be probably downgrade this year is the Padres, who's already looking to trade Juan Soto.
Mm-hmm.
And they just announced the Minnesota Twins are going to look like they're cutting payroll. They're going to reduce payroll in 2024. So that means they're probably going to call up a lot of younger talent.
Right.
That's what I would think.
Cincinnati lost Votto. Votto's probably going to – Votto right now is open to go into the Blue Jays. Imagine Joey Votto – okay. Imagine that lineup. You have Votto behind Vlad. Behind – oh, God. That's disgusting right there.
Look.
Joey Votto, Vlad Jr., and Bichette.
Yeah, that's nasty.
In the middle of your lineup?
Yeah, I can see it.
No.
I don't like it, but I
I'm saying I don't think anyone would like it, but that's dangerous right there.
Mm-hmm.
That it is.
Vegas, a judge tossed out to petition for the A stadium funding in 2024 ballot. Which would final say whether, so, this was yesterday, the Associated Press. Nevada judge threw out a proposal referring back to a statewide teachers union that would give voters the final say on whether to give $380 million of public funding for a proposal of a $1.5 billion Oakland Stadium on the Vegas Strip. Meaning it's not going to come from the taxpayers' dollars. It's going to come from either the state is going to give them a tax write-off and then Oakland's going to, or the owner of the A's is going to fund it.
Yeah.
And that's what it's looking like right now, which is interesting.
This is going to be a really interesting winter stove season.
Yeah. I mean, right now it's just everyone opting out. So there's not a lot of news in baseball now that Major League is now officially in
the off season.
But I mean, there's a lot of good speculation. I mean, the hottest news right now is the council move.
Yeah, because that really came out of left field. Yeah. I really hope he takes that Milwaukee job, David Ross.
Yeah. Yo, did you see Ichiro taking batting practice?
I did not.
No.
50-year-old Ichiro. I gotta send you this video. I'll do it later. But
damn, he's 50 years old.
He's 50 years old. He hit a 426-foot home run and destroyed a window.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Feeling kind of old.
Ichiro is 50 fucking years old.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hold on. I'm actually going to send it to you on both of you on Twitter.
Okay.
On Twitter?
On Twitter.
On Twitter.
All right. It's sent. I sent it to the Daily Blitz one.
All right.
Yeah. And by the way, he hit the window on the third. God damn, he hit the window on the third level. And he hit it off his back foot. God damn!
At Yankees.
Yeah, right. re-sign him.
Re-sign Ichiro.
Ichiro, the Saudis are looking for another player. Join. You can be the second 50-year-old to play with good old Big Sexy. Or, dear Team Japan, put him on your Japanese team for the Olympics. By the way, he still can throw. They clocked his first pitch for a ceremony first pitch. They clocked it at 96 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
He's 50 years old throwing 96. What? The hell is wrong with, like, what is with this guy? The freak of nature.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Christ almighty. Oh, God, they just announced Tommy DeVito is going to be the starter for the Giants. But we'll get to that. We'll get to them later.
Mm-hmm.
I think Raider Dave's got something to say about that.
Oh, yeah. No, he does.
Yeah, now he's got to play a real defense.
Do not fucking poke the bear. We're not to that stuff yet. Let's not. I gotta live with the fucking guy. You don't.
So, all right. That's pretty much it for baseball. Do you guys have anything you want to add? Or
We're still hearing the rumors of Yachty signing to play with the Cardinals. Well, not to play, but to coach the Cardinals.
Okay.
He'd be good there.
Right there, man. He knows the system.
Exactly.
Say he knows the system that made him, you know, multiple-time world champion. The Matheny system was garbage. But, like, yeah, no, he'd be great because he knows the La Russa system.
Yeah. Just a note, early preseason World Series odds, Braves are lead at 7-1. Then Rangers are in the AL. They're 8-1. Dodgers are 8.5. Phillies are 10. Yankees are 16. The Mets are 25. The Cubs are 33. The Brewers and Reds are 40-45. The fucking Cardinals are 50. The Pittsburgh Pirates are 100-1. And after that, it's all irrelevancy. Because if Pittsburgh can have a start like they did last year, I can see them doing really good.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely something to keep an eye on. Yeah, so
absolutely.
Apparently I made a bet at the end of last year or beginning of last year that Kodai Senga would win Rookie of the Year. Apparently he's a finalist. I thought he had a shitty year. Figure, I'm like, yeah, okay, yeah. But moving on, we officially tipped off with college basketball. We won't spend too much time on this, but it's just something that has to be waved in. Opening day on the women's side, the number one seed officially goes down. And just so happens that the national champions, LSU Tigers, were the number one seed.
Of course.
Yep. I mean, I don't know why they were number one. I get, like, they won the title. I get it. But didn't they lose, like, 90% of their team?
I think so.
So, you lost the two players that pretty much won you the title to the WNBA, and you didn't really replace them. Not saying that it was anything bad, but, like, it made no sense why they were number one. I mean, unless you're going to literally go by the whole thing that they're number one because they're the national champs.
Right.
And it's it's women's college basketball, so it's LSU and women's college basketball, so it's very not. I wouldn't say slim pickings, but there's not a lot of like top teams that stand out.
Exactly.
But you know what does stand out? Freaking Casey Clark or Caitlin Clark is back. Oh, Iowa rolls Fairleigh Dickinson University in their home opener. 102-46.
Wow.
Caitlin Clark with a double-double, 28-7 with 7 rebounds. So she went 28 points, 10 assists, 7 rebounds. Is this girl going to be the reason women's basketball kind of starts the uprising again?
I don't know. To be honest with you,
I'll say this, and I'll let you finish, but this is the most, like, I don't watch the WNBA at all. This is the most coverage I've ever seen the WNBA get this year. Like, this is the first year that I've seen them really cover the WNBA. What were you going to say, Christian?
Yeah, like, I love college basketball. I really do. I'd rather watch college basketball now that, like, I don't know. I'm kind of weird with the NBA because it was the only time I really watched the NBA is during opening week, and then literally I won't really watch it until Christmas Day.
With NFL and college football, it's a lot to watch.
Not only that, but the NBA just doesn't really intrigue me around this time like it does, like the NFL does. Because think about it, every game in the NFL means something. Like, you know, a game in the NBA, game one of the regular season, okay, yeah. I get teams in the conference play each other, what, 4 times a year?
Yep.
And then you have the interconference games, and they play each in the same city. But I get that, you know, a game in game one or, like, the first 5 games of the year, it's not going to help determine anything by the end of the season. You know what I'm saying?
But Christian, the in-season tournament.
Who gives a fuck? Dumbest shit they ever could have came up with.
I like the courts, though.
Yeah, that's the only cool thing about it.
I'll send you those, Ryan, later. The courts are fucking badass. It's like some and-one type shit with the...
Oh, shit. All right.
Let's see if I can find them. Christian, keep talking about it, though. Like,
yeah, but, like, you know, college... A win in November and a win in December and a win in a solid, strong win in January could look really good on your resume for the tournament. You get what I'm saying? Like, that's just the way it is. Like, the NBA just kind of bores me around this time. Like, I really get into the NBA after the All-Star break because that's when it's good.
Yeah. I mean, It's college football, every game matters. College basketball really doesn't do anything. I mean, you'll get some games, but does it really matter until conference. When conference play hits for college basketball, that's when it matters.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah, I just wonder how my boys are going to be this year because, I mean, we were the laughing stock of college basketball last year.
Well, you got away with a win in week one already, so.
Yeah, I saw, but, I mean, God, we started as the consensus favorite to win it all, and then we don't even win. We don't even get into the tourney, and then we decline the invitation to the NIT.
Yeah. Ryan, I just sent it into the group chat on Facebook. Some of the courts.
Haven't got enough.
But, yeah, so Caitlin Clark hit, scored in double figures for the 91st consecutive game. And it was her 44th career triple-double. Oh, yeah. By the way, she only played 24 minutes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm not even like, everyone's like, oh, that's not that bad. 28 points. I go, yeah, she did it in a half. She did it in a half. She didn't just do it in like a game. She didn't do it in the full game. She did it in a half. Dude, this girl's work ethic is insane. They showed her how she practiced during the offseason. Every day, 100 three-pointers, 100 mid-range jumpers, 100 free throws.
Mm-hmm.
Every day. She averages 64%. Dude, that's Steph Curry levels.
Yeah.
Like, it's two... I think one of her things was like 266 out of 300. I'm like... That's Steph Curry level of shooting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if she can bring that to the WNBA, like, I'm not ever going to say that it would happen, but she could be considered one of the best shooters of all time as a three-point shooter.
Yeah, I could see her going down as, like, the best female shooter.
Pure, like, well, that's the thing, pure...
Time, because we already know who the greatest shooter is in the history of basketball.
I mean, you ask 20 people, they might give you 20 answers, though.
You know, it's funny, because, look, it's Steph.
Oh, yeah.
Think about it. My aunt says it's Reggie Miller. I'm like, nah, look, Reggie was good, but Reggie wasn't pulling that shit.
But again, define it. Are you talking about pure shooting? Because that's Steph. You're talking about clutch, it's Reggie.
Oh, Steph is pretty clutch, too.
Yeah, but Reggie, but you know what? Everyone will go back to MSG.
Mm-hmm.
The 6-point swing, they will all go back to
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but nah, look at that game that Steph hit that 3-pointer in against Oklahoma City all those years. I'm just saying.
You're not wrong. I mean, that's what I said, though. You ask 20 people, they could give you 20 answers. Because some other people would say Jordan. Because you give the ball to Jordan in the clutch moment. I don't care where you are. He's fucking nailing that shot.
Yeah, same as Kobe.
Kobe, like, that's what I mean. You ask 20 different people. Or, hell, you ask an older person, like someone in John's age range, they could say Larry Bird.
Mm-hmm.
Well.
Like, what was that, right? Well, like, that's what I mean. I'm saying it's like it's different per age range. I mean, you go older, it's Jerry West.
Yeah.
So it all depends. Like, don't get me wrong. Modern, like now, Steph, yeah, it's Steph. But, like, you go, if you did, a bracket upon it, like, I'd be interested to see the arguments between that. Like, Larry Bird and Steph Curry would be an interesting matchup if you did, like, a 3-point shootout.
Oh, Steph is winning that shit.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Bird did it in warm-ups.
I get that, but nah, man.
Bird walked on the court and said, who's coming in second?
Yeah, but... You know, nah, the matchup I want to see is, like, a prime Larry Bird against a prime Kevin Durant.
On defense? Oh, dude, he would get under KD's skin so bad with the trash talk.
Nah, yeah, he would, but KD would fuck him up.
Yeah, you know how many people thought about that with the white boy, and the white boy freaking took everyone to school?
Look, that motherfucking white boy, like, you don't give a sniper a gun.
Listen, right. that white boy had Indiana blood in him.
That mother, yeah, but see, yeah.
He could walk through Erie and walk out untouched.
Listen, but that motherfucker Kevin Durant, Jesus.
He can make Bobby Knight blush.
Listen, that motherfucker Kevin Durant, the only thing that can guard him is Andis.
The only thing that can guard him is his quads.
Yeah, nah, go look at what Andis is. Go Google it.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Andis? How do you spell it?
A-N-D-I-S.
Oh. Oh, it's Clippers.
Yeah, because they're so fucked up.
His receding hairline.
But you know what? The more fucked up his hair is, the better he plays.
Fair enough.
All right.
So now flipping it over to the men, we did have a top five team go down.
Michigan State.
Yep. To James Madison. I'm not surprised. I mean, listen, James Madison's not that bad, but is it also time to say that Izzo's got to go?
I was just about to say that. I think the end is near for him because after that one title that they won, what, in 2000? What have they done since then?
But at the same time, what has Izzo had as a team?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, but no, I like Tom Izzo. I really do.
Like, I like Izzo, and I'll say this. As much as I said, why was Purdue ranked third when the preseason poll came out, I watched that opener, and oh my God, Edie.
Yeah, but I don't trust Big Ten teams come tournament time.
No,
they'll fuck up.
No, but I'm saying is like,
Edie will
be playing on in the NBA. He won't play.
Nah, I think he'll be a bust.
I think he could be in that same level as a Wembanyama.
Hey, no.
Not on the offensive side. Wemby is ridiculous on the offense. I'm saying defensively, Edie's really gotten better, just from what I've seen in the opener. Let's see what he does when Big Ten Conference comes around.
Yeah, because like, there's only one team I trust in the Big Ten tournament. I mean, in the tournament. From the Big Ten. Michigan State. That's it.
Yeah, well, you're not even getting that now.
Why? What you mean?
You said Michigan State.
That's the only team I trust come tournament time from the Big Ten.
Yeah. Ain't happening now with how Izzo's been running.
Yeah, it's the first game. They got time to turn it around. It's the first game.
Rye, do you have anything to add onto this? Have you watched any of college basketball or not really?
Well, man, I'm not a big basketball fan. Not anymore, at least.
I like Christian said, I have a hard time watching the pros. It's college. College ball is always better. I wish they did something about this recruiting. Not the recruiting. The one and dones.
Occasionally, I'll go down to my fucking old high school and catch, you know, like one of the games there.
Right, I got you on that.
But like, yeah. Besides that, unless it's like a local sport, I'm not a big basketball guy.
Okay. Oh, that is fair. All right. Other than, I don't think there's any other news. There's nothing for NBA. There's nothing for NHL. No one gives a shit about golf news. We're not even in the regular season for golf. Let's dive into college football.
All right, let's do it.
And boy, did news break in the Big Ten about an hour ago. The University of Michigan warns the Big Ten commissioner about overstepping his authority and rushing into judgment, insisting Wednesday that they cannot discipline the coach under the conference sportsmanship policy for alleged sign-stealing schemes. Okay, first off, when it comes to this whole, they stole our signs.
Right.
Who the fuck cares?
Exactly.
If you're dumb enough not to switch up your signs, you should be. It should be stolen. It's poker, right? They got your tell, then that's on you. You change your tell.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Christian, on the World of Sports page that we're on, there's a dude that was on there, and he was bitching about Ohio State and Harbaugh.
Right.
And I personally said, who cares? It's been going on for centuries. It's been going on for 100 years. Sign stealing. He goes, and his exact words were, you're okay with stealing with cheaters? I go, yeah. You have to let them get your signs and figure it out. Then that's on you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, you're okay with Atlanta doing it? Well, fucker, I don't know how many times I stole signs from second base when a catcher was fucking giving signals.
Same.
It's you're always looking to get that advantage. Oh, well, sportsmanship. There's been fuck sportsmanship. There's never, let's call it like we see it. There's never been any sportsmanship in pro sports. Everyone's looking to get that edge to get a little bit better.
A little bit better means a little more money.
Yep. And then he's like, oh, well, everyone, oh, well, so-and-so's losing their job. The AD lost his job from Michigan because if that's such a big deal, I go, because he got caught. The media made it such a big deal because they got caught. Honest to God, if they got caught, it was just between the schools. No one would care.
Right.
It's because the media is talking about it and it is blowing up. And to the media, they're calling it a black eye. It's my same argument with steroids. Let them use it. Oh, well, it's cheating. They still got to pick bat on ball.
Yeah.
Why does it matter? What's your guys' opinions on it? On all of it?
I mean, God, teams steal signs all the time.
Yeah, it's just something you got to use.
You just can't go overboard with it.
All right.
Oh, the guy was buying tickets and filming. I go, okay, you know what's funny? Coaches get an All-22, correct?
Yeah.
To go over with the team on what they get a tape from the NCAA, they get a tape from the team, and then they get the All-22. I believe that's what it's. You're telling me one of those three films doesn't have the sideline at all intact for every game, especially the All-22. It has the freaking right above, like, first row right above, so they're watching the line. You're telling me I can't look at the signs being taken? No one ever thought about that.
Exactly.
Oh, he's going there. Yeah, the reason it's a big deal is because the media is making it a big deal. Oh, well, Altuve knew it was coming. He still hit it. Now, is it a little bit more unfair, the fact that, yeah, he knew the pitch was coming, so he was able to load up on it? Okay, there's your argument. But what does that mean about a player that is reading a pitcher, knowing that he only pitches curveballs and at two strike counts? Aren't you sitting on a curveball?
Exactly.
That's not stealing signs. That's knowing your pitcher. That's knowing the situation. But that's still also understanding the outcome in the situation.
Exactly.
So you're not shaving points. You're not doing anything illegal. I just think it's ridiculous. And especially, oh, they're going to fire Jim Harbaugh.
No, I don't think they're going to fire him.
Not fire him, sorry. Suspend him. You're going to not allow them to play in the Big Ten title game. It's things along those lines where it's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, they still have to go out there and play the game.
Exactly.
Oh, well, they know what's coming. Okay, change it then. If you know they know, then use the decoy. I don't know how hard that is.
Honestly, I think this is going to get uglier before it gets even better.
Oh, yeah. This is a train wreck waiting to happen, and it's already, and I'm just grabbing the popcorn.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous. They could face the Big Ten. Michigan could face discipline. Oh, there's a lawsuit waiting to happen there. Other news real quick. USC fires defensive coordinator Grinch.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was way overdue, because my thing about Alex Grinch, you know, he was at Oklahoma, couldn't get the job done there. Lincoln brings him from Norman to California, can't get the job there. You know, maybe an identity change and a different coach was needed.
But on the same hand, I blame Lincoln. I blame Lincoln Riley for a lot of this.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have a guy in Caleb Williams who overall is going to probably was at that point might be the number one pick overall. And you didn't go out and recruit. There's coaching, but then there's also you need to go out and recruit defensive players because you had no DBs. You let Washington just school you on defense. Caleb did everything he could to keep them in that game.
Yeah, he did, but that just always seems to be the thing. You know how I always say the Bills depend on Josh Allen too much?
But here's the thing. That's a Lincoln Riley team in a nutshell. Look at Oklahoma. Look at when he was in Oklahoma. And he had Baker Mayfield.
Mm-hmm.
Or Jalen. He relied on his offense to win games. The difference is the Pac-12 is not the Big 12.
At all.
The Pac-12 you need a defense to play in the Pac-12. You can't just outscore everybody. You need some form of defense. I mean, hell, USC lose a ranking and Arizona gets ranked.
What the fuck happened?
What?
Oh, I got disconnected. I got booted.
Huh. I have no idea.
Damn it, Chris.
Oh, boy. But all right, we ready to run down the top 25?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Teams that have officially dropped out of the rankings: UCLA, USC, and Air Force.
Yeah.
I completely forgot UCLA lost. Oh, when we get to the top, we'll talk about, I know you have some things that you want to talk about with the rankings, and we'll get to that when we get to the second half of the rankings.
Mm-hmm.
Number 25, down two spots after the loss with Texas, K-State. They got Baylor coming up. That should be fun. Number 24, jumping in for the first time after their whooping of Campbell, North Carolina. Number 23, Tulane. Number 22, the inept offense of Iowa.
Yeah, with emphasis on inept.
Yep. They literally, sorry, I said it wrong. Iowa. Because where's
no
the O? No O, baby. Bear down Arizona, number 21.
Okay.
Number 20, Notre Dame. Number 19, LSU.
Mm-hmm.
Number 18, Utah. Number 17, Boomer Sooner, Oklahoma. Number 16, Rock Chalk Jayhawk, Kansas. Number 15,
hey,
little...
Fuck.
What?
Fuck Kansas.
Yeah. Pistols up, OK State. Number 14, Missouri. Number 13, Tennessee, good old Rocky Top. Number 12, the Beavers of Oregon State. Number 11, the Louisville Cardinals. Number 10, after their win over Maryland, Penn State. Number 9, Ole Miss. And then 8 through 1 stays the same in Bama, then Texas, then Oregon, then Washington, and your top four: Florida State, Michigan, Georgia, and overrated fucking State.
Yeah, so the top four is still the same from last week, right?
The top eight is the same from last week.
Yeah, with Ohio State, I think the committee, they just want to set up potentially one versus two that final week with Ohio State and Michigan. I mean, have you ever thought about it that way?
Yes, I did. But when Rutgers literally outplayed you, their offense outplayed their offense.
Mm-hmm.
They just pulled away late because of bad calls and bad, and just it just ended up getting away from them. Rutgers should have won that game. Honest to God, if it wasn't for the pick six, which was targeting, another time, and a kick and a shitty punt at the beginning of the first half, game would have been 14-16 Rutgers wins.
Right.
And we wouldn't be talking about this. But the only thing Ohio State's offense has is a great wide receiver in Marvin Harrison Jr.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Ohio's played nobody's. Okay, they got away with Notre Dame. They played two teams. They beat Notre Dame, and they beat Penn State.
Yeah, and then remember what I said, Ronnie. I wasn't impressed with them against Penn State. I mean, yeah, their defense is great. Yes, they're a different team now because they've had to change their entire philosophy. They're not that team that can hang 40 on you.
No.
You know, they're a team that relies on ball control to help out the young quarterback, and they're doing it with defense. Like, the best thing Ryan Day's done in this last year is hire Jim Knowles. Because this is what Jim Knowles does. He turns around defenses.
Like I said, I would stand by this, and I would say Ohio State should be 5. And the top, and my ranking would be, I would love to put Michigan 1, but Georgia would have to be 1.
Look, I think, yeah, I mean, you can't go wrong with
Georgia's the defending champs. They have to be 1.
Yeah, I mean, Georgia's won 26 games in a row.
Yeah, so
Georgia's won 26 games in a row dating back to 2021. Michigan has been, to me, Michigan's been the most complete team in college football because they do it against the pass. I mean, they're great. No team has thrown over 200 yards on this Michigan defense. Do you realize that?
No, yeah, that's pretty nice.
They're stingy against the run, and their offense, they gradually climb the ladder week in and week out. So, and Georgia showing you they can be a little vulnerable at times. My thing is with Michigan isn't a team that can win a shootout because they're not equipped to play in shootouts. You saw that last year. TCU got them out their element, and that's exactly why TCU won that game over them in the playoff. I just want to see what Michigan does these next couple of weeks because these next two games are going to be tune-ups for them before the game.
Right. Agreed.
And the same can be said about Ohio State. If anything, if there's any team that's going to slip up before that big game in Ann Arbor, it's going to be Ohio State because there's been times they've looked vulnerable. I haven't seen any sense of vulnerability out of Michigan this year. They've put opponents away, and they don't even look back.
Like,
that Michigan State game is a perfect example.
Like, I'll say this. My issue is that if Ohio State loses and they're this and they're there, and they lose against Michigan, you move them to 5, then you give the committee an argument to put them in when they don't deserve it. Because they would not win their conference, their division in the conference. They would not make the Big Ten title game. And you would really put an Oregon team that would beat a Washington or a Texas or a Bama.
Only way, we talked about this on Monday, even the quarterback the other day.
Yes, yeah.
And remember what I said, if Georgia beats Alabama.
Then it's a moot point.
Oh, no, if Georgia beats Alabama, Ohio State's getting in. So I think the 4. Or, okay, that's one possibility. Or the second possibility is Georgia, Michigan, Florida State, Oregon. We could see a one-loss team miss the college football playoff, and I don't think that's ever happened.
So here's the thing. So let's just say this. Ohio State would drop down to 5 if they lose to Michigan. They would be out. So Michigan would pretty much lock themselves in to one of the top 4, which would mean Florida State would move up and you would move Washington into that 4 slot. A one-loss Pac-12 team in Oregon, that's a win and you're in. Or if Bama beats Georgia, do you put Bama in over Texas?
But say Texas wins their conference title.
Texas would have to be the Big 12 champ. They would have to beat either OK State or, yeah, it looks like it's going to be OK State.
Yeah, that's the only way. And it's like what my cousin said that I told you the other day. Our conversation on Monday, even the quarterback, just further solidifies what? That
expansion
needs to be, it needs to expand to 8 teams. Because,
well, we're going to 12 next year, right?
I believe so, because there's going to be a really good team who's going to be left out. But then again, see, this is why I think that Ohio State-Michigan game is so important, because even if I think that's the only way Ohio State can get in, they beat Michigan, and then they win the Big Ten title game. Again, look, I don't believe in rewarding teams with a playoff spot where they didn't even play in their conference title game. Like, everybody was on the fence about TCU last year. You remember TCU lost that thrilling game against Kansas State? And I remember talking to you during that game, Ronnie. And what did I tell you? I'm like, look, even if TCU were to lose this game, they're still going to get in. Why would they put a two-loss team? One, we've never seen a two-loss team make the college football playoffs, right?
No,
so that's number one.
The difference is we saw a two-loss team. We've never seen a two-loss team win the conference.
Yeah, that. And then three, why are you going to not reward a team for winning a share of their conference over a team that didn't win their conference at all? The team that won a share of their conference was TCU, and the team that didn't win their conference at all last year was Alabama. Then you had Nick Saban go on air and embarrass himself about still making the playoffs. I'm like, bro, you lost two games. That's not happening.
No, but
if anything, Alabama should have lost more than the two games they did last year.
Let me see something. Let me see what the rankings looked like this time last year. Okay, so I want, what was it, week 12? Week 13 would be before, would have been before the college football playoffs. I believe would be the final ranking. Yes. Or no, sorry. Week 15. Because they were all 11-0. All right, here we go. So, yeah, you had... See, that's the thing, though. So, Ohio State got put in because I believe that was when USC lost, right?
Mm-hmm.
They were supposed to be the 4 seed.
Yeah, because
and they got smoked.
Ohio
and they got smoked by Utah.
Yeah, because when USC dropped that game to Utah, all I could say was, "Well, there's Ohio State's path."
But at that point, would have almost been better to throw, as much as it was, we're saying no two loss team. Would the answer have been Clemson getting in?
Nah, they weren't getting in.
Because they won the ACC.
Yeah, but I don't think the committee was impressed with them. Like, you know, Clemson last year, yeah, they beat a number 10 ranked North Carolina State. But other than that, what other win stands out to you? I think the committee, they do it by the eye test. You know what I mean? Even if, let's just paint the scenario here. Even if Michigan didn't win the Pac, the Big Ten last year, but they still beat Ohio State, I think they still would have got in.
But
again, division champ, you played in your conference title game, yeah, you're getting in.
But that's why the Ohio State getting in is why that was more of a thing, because they didn't play in the Big Ten title game.
Right, right.
They got curb stomped at home
against Michigan. Yeah, they did.
And overall, I'll say this, the team was a lot better last year than it is this year because they had a trap.
Michigan or Ohio State?
Ohio State.
Are they better this year than what they were last year?
No. I'm saying last year. They're better last year than they were this year.
Oh, absolutely. But
they had CJ.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, like, they were blowing teams out left and right and then just get curb stomped by Michigan. The problem is they didn't play in, like, I keep saying, like, I think the big issue is, at least if you're going to be a high seed, you need to win your conference. You need to win your conference title game.
Mm-hmm.
Ohio State did not. Michigan did. But, okay, fine. TCU at least got there. They didn't win. All right, fine. You're going to put them in because they got there. Okay. But, like, I get it. But at the same time, too, Ohio State, who did Bama lose to at that point?
I know Bama lost to Tennessee.
Okay, which was a field goal.
And then they lost by, they lost to LSU.
By how much?
I think it was a touchdown.
But I will find out.
And I think it was in double overtime as well.
And that right there, though, as much as that is two losses, does that show LSU in double overtime by a point and by Tennessee by a field goal?
52-49.
So even in those two losses, they had less than Ohio State.
Yeah.
Get the Sugar Bowl and curb stomp K-State.
Yeah.
As much as Ohio State, by a technicality, I think that's the one year you would have seen a two-year team.
Nah.
Nah,
I don't think so, because, you know, Ohio State, again, like, who did Alabama really beat last year that stands out? Because I can get what Ohio
I'll look at this. All right. Ranked Arkansas at Arkansas.
Yeah.
Home against, they won by four. Mississippi State at home by a route. Yeah. They beat Auburn at home 49-27.
Nah.
Texas by a point, but that at Texas, that's still an impressive win because they were down for most of that.
Yeah, and then who's to say what happens if Quinn Ewers doesn't go down? I mean, he was a difference maker this year.
Yeah, and he's practicing yesterday. He was practicing. So that's why Texas is going to be an interesting discussion.
Yeah.
Rod, you have any opinions on this?
Negative.
You what? I mean, other than that, I mean, that's really it for the top 25. All right, it's just us three for college football picks. I have John's NFL picks. So when we get to the NFL, we can talk about that.
Who's still in first place with the pick'em?
You, I am officially bringing up the rear by one game. But that might change after this week.
Nah, no, it won't.
Well, yeah, it will, because I already have games that I'm taking that he took the other side of, so.
Oh, shit. Speaking of games, I got to send you.
Yeah, you do. Are you going, you going SEC with yours, or did you go? I know you're going Big Ten.
Yeah, I previewed Ole Miss and Georgia yesterday.
Okay, yeah. you weren't doing Bama Kentucky. Okay, I knew you were going Penn State, Michigan.
Yeah.
But with that being said, that is our first game. Penn State, Michigan. In Beaver Stadium, Michigan is a 4.5-point favorite. Christian, what do you got for it?
I mean, this Michigan defense, this Michigan team as a whole, they've been the most complete team in college football. They're running the ball offensively. They're not potent, but they're doing just enough to consistently push that football up the field. And defensively, I think this is the best defense that Jim Harbaugh's had since he's become the head coach once again at Ann Arbor, because they've been able to really neutralize what it is that you do best. No team's been able to attack them in the air over 200 yards this year. You know, that's how locked in they are on pass defense. They play well as like a unit up front. They have linebackers that swarm to the ball, and they have a secondary that's able to make those plays on the ball. Because of the consistency and the activity of the front seven, then when I look at Penn State, you know, Drew Allar, he's getting more comfortable. Penn State was just dominant last week against Maryland. started fast and never let up. I previewed this one an hour before kickoff on Saturday. Be on the lookout.
Brian, what is yours? Penn State, Michigan.
Penn State.
All right. Right now, is the big thing is this game is in Beaver Stadium. So that is going to be the biggest situation. But I think Michigan is a better team this year than what Penn State was. I mean, hell, even when they played Ohio State. I gotta go with the boys in blue. Give me Mish.
Look, that game against Ohio State, their defense did everything to keep them in that game. It was their offense that couldn't deliver. Ohio State, they bottled up K. Trent Allen and Nicholas Singleton.
Right. All right. Next game, Rutgers goes to Iowa to take on the Hawkeyes. Iowa. Because God forbid they have no Iowa is a 1.5-point favorite. The over-under is 28.5.
I'm taking Rutgers, and I'll be back. I'm going to take a quick piss.
All right.
Yeah.
Right?
Rutgers.
Rutgers. This game is going to be a slog. It is going to be slow as hell. But Rutgers can average about 30 points a game, even on good defenses. Rutgers should knock off the number 23 team in the nation. Give me RU. All right, next, Temple takes on South Florida. South Florida is a 7-point favorite. Ryan, who are you taking in this?
Give me Temple.
Yeah, you know what? The one thing is Temple is a team that they got their quarterback back. And when they play Navy is one of those teams where they slog the ball. They still put 27 points on them, and they shut them out 27-0. I'm going to take Temple also. Temple should have no problem taking care of business. I'll get Christian's when he gets back. Next game, going to the island. Air Force, after suffering their first loss against Army, takes on Hawaii. Hawaii is an 18.5-point dog in this game. What was that?
Nope.
Hold on, you were breaking up. Say that again.
Nope.
No? Yeah, you're taking Air Force?
Yes. Correct, sir.
Normally I would say I'm going to take the Island Boys, but I think this year has just been a lost cause. It really hurts. Yeah, I'm taking Air Force too. Christian?
Yes, sir.
Temple, USF.
I'll go Temple.
And then go to the island, Air Force, Hawaii.
I will go Air Force.
Okay. All right, we're caught up. All right, next game, Miami. I can break down Ryan's pick. Is taking on Florida State. Florida State's a 14-point favorite.
This is who?
Miami FSU. Give me
Florida State. Oh, Florida State easily.
You know what? The last time I heard Florida State is the best pod, the Seminole Vesicles. Shut up, Joanna. We'll call you in about 20 minutes. Trust me, Raider Dave will be glad you came. God forbid he couldn't get a Molotov cocktail into a certain car or something like that.
I don't know. He came back and he was freaking out.
Why? He realized he has to play an actual defense this week?
I mean, I'm sure that has something to do with it. said something about his trip to Vegas not happening.
Oh, why? Because he found a Guido in his car and threw a Molotov cocktail in it.
Not quite. But let's just say Raider Dave's been late.
He's on fire?
As he may be wanted for murder.
Oh, yay. All right. Well, let's keep moving on while we let that settle. Oklahoma State takes on Central Florida. OK State is a 2.5-point favorite. This game is in the bounce house in Central Florida.
All right, this is who?
Central Florida, OK State.
Oklahoma State. They're going to keep rolling.
Yeah, OK State.
I agree with that. Gundy's got this team ready to go. Give me pistols up. They're going to go to the Big 12 title game to possibly take on this team. Texas is a 10-point favorite versus TCU. Now, I didn't get a chance to see this. Is this game in Dallas, or is this game at TCU?
It's at TCU because last year...
It was in Jerry's World.
Yeah, no, it was in Austin.
Sure about that? I thought it was in Jerry's World last year.
Nah. It was in Austin. I remember previewing it last year.
Is that 2 years ago then?
Yeah, it must be two years ago. But last year it was in Austin because I remember game day being in Austin and Matthew McConaughey was the guest picker. Just look at it like this. Max Duggan, Quentin Johnston, Kendre Miller, and all those guys from last year's team, they're not walking through that door. Texas should win this game, but Malik Murphy has to be better. Texas should be ashamed of themselves the other day because they blew a 20-point lead. Yeah, they only won by 3 points, but...
Took overtime.
Just the fact that they let Kansas State climb back into this game, that kind of gives TCU some film on how to limit them.
Yeah.
Yeah, Malik Murphy has to play better, plain and simple, because if he doesn't, you know, Quint Ewers, this team goes as far as Quint Ewers takes them.
Right, I agree with that. Especially if he's playing. There's no rule if he is playing yet, but if he is, yeah, I will give my pick right now, and it's going to be all right.
Mm-hmm.
Give me Texas.
Hey, Haas.
Texas. All right. Give me the boys in the burnt orange.
Yeah. I agree.
All right. So, Conference USA, we're going pretty much to the actual games that matter. Old Dominion takes on Liberty. Liberty 9-0 this year. Will they go 10 to lock up their spot in Conference USA? They are 13.5-point favorites. It's in Liberty. They'll do it. Give me Liberty.
Yeah, I'm taking Liberty.
Give me Liberty Bibbity.
Liberty Bibbity.
Yeah, I'm taking Liberty.
They're playing really good this year too.
Liberty Bibbity.
They'll win, they'll cover. But then here's the interesting thing. The team that wins this game is in the driver's seat to make the second they wouldn't be second, they'd be third, but because Jacksonville State is on a conference title and bowl ban for the first year, the winner of this game pretty much is locking in the second seed for the conference title game, and that would be New Mexico State will be 4.5-point dogs against Western Kentucky.
I'm going Western Kentucky.
So don't really matter, Christian. Me and you have money on all three of these teams.
Oh, God.
So, it really doesn't matter. Listen, whoever wins that game, we're locking in a profit on the conference title game.
Agreed.
And we can say from the start, we called the conference title game.
Agreed.
We can brag that. But I'm taking New Mexico State. We have more money on that. Not more money. We could win more money. Sorry. Ryan, who are you taking?
Who is it?
The Hilltoppers versus the Lobos. New Mexico State versus Western Kentucky.
Yes, New Mexico State.
I don't know how. Honest to God, New Mexico State, in my opinion, might be a better team. I don't know how their dogs going into, maybe because they're going into Western Kentucky. All right, the winner of this game will be in the driver's seat for the Mountain West title. Fucking Wyoming is taking on UNLV. UNLV is a 6.5-point favorite.
I'm going UNLV.
UNLV.
This time last year, UNLV only had 2 wins. Now they have a chance to play for a conference title.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, give me the Rebels. Give me UNLV. The Cowboys of Wyoming looked horrible this year. The team that needs to keep fighting, Fresno State, is a 1-point dog against San Jose State. Give me the Bulldogs. Give me Fresno.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm taking Fresno.
Chico State.
Yep, good old Chico State. All right. Arizona is a 10.5-point favorite over Colorado.
I'm going Arizona. The wheels have just fallen off for Colorado. We knew that. Just look at the difference. You remember when they were 3-0? How everybody was so excited. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, me and you both were on this air saying the exact same thing, saying, okay, you're 3-0. You played nobody.
Right. And then once they play Oregon, I just kept saying to myself, like, look, Oregon is a better team combined than TCU, Colorado State, and Nebraska put together.
Yeah. But I agree with that. Bear down, Arizona. Give me Arizona. Give me the Wildcats.
Yep.
Ryan, Arizona?
Sure.
All right. Next, Utah goes into Washington. Washington's a 9.5-point favorite. This is the easiest handicap in the world. It's in Washington. Give me Washington.
Yeah, I'm taking Washington.
Right? Washington, Utah.
Washington.
All right, next. Bama is a 10.5-point favorite over Kentucky.
Bama.
Yeah, I like Bama, but I think Kentucky's going to make it interesting.
I think Bama wins to keep their hopes alive, but this is in Lexington, so... There's a bet right now that I saw that it would be Kentucky plus 3.5 in the first quarter. Take that because it's a noon kickoff.
Mm-hmm.
Now, will Bama wake up early? No, I think it's going to take them a quarter to kick the cobwebs out. And next is Tennessee is a 1-point favorite over Mizzou. It's in Missouri.
You know who I'm not taking.
Yeah, you're taking Rocky Flop.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm going to take Tennessee here.
I've got to go the opposite. I got to take Mizzou. In all honesty, they could have. If the defense didn't give up dumb penalties, they should have beaten Georgia. Like, in all reality, they should have beaten Georgia. So I think Tennessee is going to be – it's in. If it was in Rocky Top, I would be like Tennessee would probably blow them out, but this is at home. The winner of this game is pretty much likely to go to a New Year's Six Bowl.
Right.
So after that, you're going to the Cheez-It Bowl. But final game on this list, Ole Miss taking on Georgia. Georgia is a 10.5-point favorite. Ole Miss has nothing to lose. I mean, they win. Their playoff hopes are still alive. They lose. They're out. They're going to a small bowl anyway.
What the hell? I got booted again.
I wonder if Skype's acting up. I have no idea.
Yeah.
And we're doing Ole Miss, Georgia.
You know, this Ole Miss team has a lot of talent. You see what I'm saying? Because they can score with anyone, and they have, in my opinion, one of the best duos in all the nation, and that's in Jackson Dart and the running back, Quinshon Judkins. One thing I will say, Missouri showed that Georgia does have some weaknesses as a defense, and Missouri and Georgia's secondary has some issues. So if I'm Ole Miss, I'd be attacking that secondary. Georgia, on the other hand, they've won 26 in a row. They find ways to win games, and I'm watching Ladd McConkey. He's really stepped up ever since Brock Bowers went down. Now, if they get Brock, is Brock coming back this year, Ronnie?
No word yet. See if I see anything on the injury report.
Yeah, look. Here's what's going to happen. Ole Miss is going to keep things interesting, but in the end, it's just going to be way too much Georgia when it matters most, which is in the second half. I like the Bulldogs to pull away with this one. I like the Bulldogs to win this one 42-21.
Right.
Yeah, give me Georgia.
Ugga rolls. This is at night. I mean, they're gonna play with their ears pinned back, but even if Quinn Ewers is not coming back, there's no injury report yet. So, don't know if he's out for the year yet. His status is still active, so he might actually be back. Bowers is running again. So
they can't win a national championship without him.
No, I agree with that. But yeah, Ugga rolls. All right, let's dive into the NFL.
Let's go.
And oh boy, so the NFL. Has this been, like, some of the worst fucking officiating?
Jesus Christ, yes.
I didn't mean the fucking game on Thursday.
It was the worst fucking officiating in the first quarter I've ever seen.
I think there's been very bad officiating. Like, it's just no one's... it's hard to explain, I guess.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny. Go ahead, Ryan.
It's not hard to explain. It's the fact that these officials know that they can make whatever fucking calls they want.
You know, it's funny. You bring up these officiating, the lack of quality officiating. I got a text before the show I contribute for on Tuesdays last night, and he asked me, what would I do about bad officiating? The first offense, it's a 4-game suspension, right? The second offense is a fine. The third offense, and you keep screwing up, you're out of here.
Yeah.
then I went on a rant about some other things because he asked me, what are some things I'd change about the NFL if I were in charge of the league? And you know what I said, Ronnie? I said, one, I'm assembling a panel of former wide receivers to determine what and what is not a catch. Because we have too many guys who have been trying to tell us what's a catch when they've never caught a football in their life. And then I would assemble a committee of former pass rushers and current to determine what's roughing the passer, because these roughing the passer calls are becoming absolutely egregious.
Oh, and the one thing, too, is it's these targeting calls, too, that are really pissing me off.
In college football, because...
And the pros.
Yeah, but look, with targeting, I remember years ago, there was a show I contributed for called The Great Debate, right? And one of the guys asked me, how am I hitting a ball carrier in today's NFL? And I'm like, unfortunately, I'm aiming at the knee because I know it's not going to be called for anything. And yes, he might tear something, but I'm aiming at the knee because if I go crown to crown and helmet to helmet, I'm coming out my pocket. Excuse me. I'm coming up my pocket, $35,000. I'm probably going to get ejected from the game. And it's like, you know, you're taught to go helmet to helmet. Yeah, the game has just become soft. Like, a guy like Ronnie Lott could not play in today's NFL.
No.
A guy like Lawrence Taylor could not play in today's NFL. Ray Lewis, even though he did, I'm talking Ray Lewis in his prime, playing now.
Oh, God, no. He'd be kicked out for being too fucking violent.
Yeah, he would. Sean Taylor, playing in today's NFL.
No, it would never happen.
Brian Dawkins.
Yeah, exactly. I get your point.
Yeah.
I mean, so I saw this video. You reminded me of it. You seen the video of Chad Johnson trying to run over Ray Lewis?
Yeah, I remember that.
How much do you bet, want to bet, that in today's league, they'd have called that a penalty?
Oh, probably.
Yeah, more than likely.
And he's just like, I tried to run over Ray. It was a mistake.
Yeah, what are you, high?
He bounced you like a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
The league is too soft.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you're absolutely right.
That's the only thing we could say. Like, we're doing this to extend careers, this and that, blah, blah, blah. Gentlemen, we come from the end of an era where, like, football players knew their career was 10 years.
And then, you know, the reason why Tom Brady was able to last 23 years because there was a rule named after him. The Brady rules. You couldn't hit him. about it.
But they weren't going out of their way like that for dudes like Joe Montana.
And see, that's my thing. I'm so glad you said that, Ryan. I can't see Brady lasting in that era.
Oh, God, no. Look, there's a reason why there will always be a debate on who the greatest quarterback of all time is. Yes, Tom Brady has 6 rings.
7.
Joe Montana has 4. But Joe Montana only went to the big dance 4 times.
And he never lost.
Tom Brady has 6 rings out of 9, 10?
7 rings out of 10 appearances.
He's 7 out of 10. That is not the greatest of all time. 4 out of 4, that's the greatest of all time.
Yeah,
that's
Tom is the most accomplished. I mean, what separates Tom Brady from every other quarterback in the league?
In this safe football era.
Yeah, but what I think, you know, what makes Tom the greatest to do it, the brighter the lights, the bigger the stage, the better he was.
Yeah,
Tom,
but Tom was the
best system quarterback.
Just think about it. Tom Brady lining up behind the center, and he looks across the line and he sees Warren Sapp. His career's over. Warren Sapp ended careers for fun.
Well, that's another one that couldn't play in this era.
No, and Warren Sapp did play against Brady.
But it was
the tail end of his career, though.
Yeah, no, that's old man Warren Sapp. I'm talking Warren in his prime whenever he was fucking breaking it.
The U, Warren.
Yeah, Warren Sapp is crazy.
Yeah.
All right, you guys ready to pick some games?
Goes first.
Yeah. Yep, I'm ready. All right. So, first game on the docket. The Carolina Panthers, the Thursday night game. Ugh, fucking A. The Carolina Panthers take on secret Bay Agent Man in the Chicago Bears.
I think Justin Fields is coming back for this one.
Is he? Oh, thank God. There's a comeback.
From what I'm hearing, I like the Bears in this one. It'll be low scoring, something like 20-13.
Yeah, it's going to be low, but it's a home game, and that's going to give the Bears an advantage. Especially since we have some really weird Midwest weather right now. Like Christian, you survived a couple Midwest winters.
Yeah, I did. I can't believe it.
Like almost 80 degrees today.
Really?
Yeah. It's fucking freakishly warm right now.
Which means a hurricane's coming.
we're in early November and like I'm sitting here with my windows open.
That's crazy.
But like 2 weeks ago, I had to have everything closed up and the heat on because it was like a 40-degree, 20-degree low. Like we went fall, or we went summer, winter, fall. And the fact is, Carolina has to deal with harsh weather, but they don't have to deal with like the erratic weather that we get in the middle of the country.
Yeah, and I mean, Bryce Young.
They're used to it.
Bryce Young is in a learning curve. He's learning right now that this isn't Tuscaloosa. But Carolina, they have to put more around him. It's like I always tell Ronnie, Ryan, you got to be able, if you want your quarterback to succeed, put him in that position to succeed and let him put pieces around him.
Yeah. But, and yes, I'm also going to take Chicago. I ain't touching this. This is the second Chicago game that they're on Thursday.
That's right. Because they play the Commanders.
Yep. Where they smoked the shit out of them.
Yeah, that was the first win.
Yeah. So, maybe Thursday night for Chicago is a good thing.
Maybe.
All right, next. Indy is a 1.5-point favorite over New England. Oh, by the way, John took Chicago, too.
Okay.
John is taking Indy for this game against New England. I got to go with the same thing. I got to take Indianapolis. I do not trust. Oh, this game is also in Frankfurt, Germany.
Yeah. I'm taking the Patriots. I don't trust the Colts. I really don't trust either team. You remember these matchups always used to be must-see TV? Peyton Manning, Tom Brady.
Neither one of them are walking through that door.
Yeah. You know, you could even say Andrew Luck isn't walking through that door. Yeah, I definitely like New England in this one. Low-scoring, ugly game. I think 20 points is going to win this one.
Patriots-Colts?
Yep.
I think that one's going to be too close to call. I'm going to go Indy.
I got to take Indy, too, because I think that this is going to be the game where you start seeing running backs start taking over. As much as I think Belichick in a different area is good, I think that team is too beat up. Yeah, give me Indy. All right, next. Christian, you're previewing this. The Texans take on the Bengals.
Yeah, I really like what I'm seeing from the Houston Texans. DeMeco Ryans was a hand-in-glove fit for them to be their next head coach. Remember, he played for them, and I remember Brian Cushing saying, DeMeco's the one guy you don't want to piss off, right? Houston's been rebuilding the last couple years, and the future's bright. for them. And C.J. Stroud, what a year he's having. This guy's thrown 14 touchdown passes and only one interception, so he's taking care of the ball. And I think he's starting to shed that stereotype that Ohio State quarterbacks don't prosper in the NFL. When I look at the Bengals, they're hot right now. You know, we talk about the Baltimore Ravens, and, you know, and rightfully so. But Cincinnati, they found their swagger. I kept telling you, Ronnie, all they needed was that one game. And that one game is going to turn into something else. And look at what that something else has become.
Yeah,
well, a four-game winning streak.
Well, they might also be down Chase for this game.
No, why?
He hurt his back.
Oh, come on, man. You ain't always open that. I preview it tomorrow. I'll be on the lookout.
Yeah, that was something that came across. I still like Cincinnati. I think that defense, I think you're going to start seeing Mixon getting the ball a lot more.
Yeah, and I think that's what they're going to have to do, because good things happen when you still run the football. Look how Joe Mixon was able to run the ball when they were in San Francisco, and to do it against that elite defense, that says something.
Yep. What?
Houston and Bengals, you said?
Yep.
Give me the Bengals.
All right. Next on the list is the Saints versus the Vikings. New Orleans is a 2.5-point favorite. John is taking the Minnesota Vikings. And I'm going against them. Give me the Saints. As much as they've been not been doing good on offense and how they barely got away with a win last week, 2.5, you're within a field goal against Dobbs in Minnesota, who still has not figured out the entire playbook yet.
Yeah,
in New Orleans.
Yeah, I'm taking the Saints as well. I just think this defense of New Orleans, they're going to tee off on this Minnesota offense. And Derek Carr is slowly but surely becoming comfortable now.
Yep.
You know, he's settling in. He's spreading the ball around. Shahid has really been his one guy. And I think Taysom Hill is going to be way too much for this Minnesota defense, because he beats you in so many different ways. He can catch the ball. He can run jet sweeps, he can handle it under center, and then he can run with it as well. And I think that's just going to be too much for the Vikings. I'm taking the Saints.
Yep, I will. And we're all in agreement except John on that one. So next, the Packers take on the Steelers. John taking the Steelers, so is Ryan.
Dude,
yeah,
the Steelers.
Yeah,
Green Bay is. Sorry, Christian.
No problem, man. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, dude, the Packers are a wreck this season. Normally, this is like a rivalry game that I look forward to, but, like, the Steelers got this.
Yeah. The Packers are in a rebuild right now. This Packers team reminds me a lot, excuse me, of the 2018 when Aaron Rodgers started in his first year. They went 6-10, if I'm not mistaken. Green Bay, you know, it's still a learning curve. But I will say this, I was encouraged by what I saw from the Packers the other day, because they incorporated Aaron Jones running the football, and that cut Jordan Love's pass attempts in half. You know, you don't need your first-year quarterback throwing the ball almost 40 times a game, because you're not going to win. The Steelers, on the other hand, that was a gritty win last week, Ryan, against Tennessee.
Yes.
They were able to limit Derrick Henry, force Will Levis into long yardage situations, and they're facing another young quarterback here in Jordan Love. I just don't think the Packers have the offensive line to handle both T.J. Watt and Alex Highsmith. I like the Steelers in this one.
Well, let me just say, Ronnie and the Twitch listeners heard me raging during the first quarter of that game. Nine fucking penalties in the first quarter alone.
Who, for the Steelers?
Combined. Actually,
wow.
Dude, they were calling, like, let's see, what three do I remember explicitly that set me off? First one was roughing the passer.
Right.
That one be like.
Well, the one TJ hit was this, was a flag.
I'm talking about TJ.
The first roughing the passer was legit roughing the passer.
He deserved it. No, but that second roughing the passer call was subjective. Like, the ball literally just left his fingers when he got hit.
Yeah.
So, like, you could call that roughing the passer. You could call that with just, like, yeah, he hit him as the ball was thrown. The second one was a hands to the face. There were a lot of fucking hands to the face. And I saw a lot of hands to the face that weren't getting called, too. But the one that set me off was whenever Watt got called for fucking hands to the face. And he literally had his fucking helmet ripped off his head.
Yeah.
The referee stands up, makes the call, and then as he's walking back to the fucking line of scrimmage, he turns his thing back on. He's like, oh, the offense. I meant the offense. Oh, yeah, dude, because you're about to have fucking 50,000 fucking Steelers fans rush that stadium and beat your ass. How the fuck did you get a penalty to the Steelers whenever Watt's helmet was ripped clean off his fucking head?
Yeah.
No, I meant it was against the offense. No shit. You're making calls like that, and then you're wondering why their fucking quarterback's taking late hits. They can't hit you. They can't hit you. Maybe we should pad up fucking refs.
Yeah, I'm also taking Pittsburgh, too, because I think Green Bay beat a team in the Rams that were more L.A. than they were L.A.
Yeah.
We played the refs in the first quarter, and it was fucking bullshit.
which, by the way, if you haven't seen the trailer for Letterkenny, go look at it. And Brian knows what I'm talking about.
Kind of glad St. Louis has a football team right now, because I would be waiting outside the fucking parking lot, beat the fuck out of referees.
Motherfucker, Battlehawks.
Not St. referees.
Bonnie McMurray.
Okay, I'm good.
Next game, the Tennessee Titans take on the Tampa Bay Sucks. I mean, Bucks. They are a one-point favorite. John is taking Tampa Bay. I guess now that Tom Brady's not there, he can actually take Tampa Bay. Even with that being said, still give me Will Levis. Levis is starting the rest of the year. Give me the Titans.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm taking the Tennessee Titans. Tampa Bay, they were a good story early on, but they've come back down to reality. Excuse me.
Yeah.
They've come back down to reality. And here's the thing. Baker Mayfield's played well.
It's yeah.
It really
defense.
Is.
Could you see him winning comeback player of the year?
If he shells off a couple more wins, why not?
Because everyone is still thinking DeMar Hamlin's going to get that.
Yeah, but DeMar hasn't really played.
He played one game, and that was on – he played two downs on special teams. That's it.
Right, and I know he played a couple of times.
He's been inactive the whole season.
Yeah, it's been a healthy game. Fresh. I bet, yeah, it's because, you know, the Bills don't want to risk anything.
No, and I've said it from the start. They need to take his helmet.
Yeah.
And it looks like that's what they're doing, which is the smartest thing to do.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, next. The 49ers take on the Jaguars. Jacksonville is a 3-point home dog. John is taking Jacksonville.
Brandon Ayuk is going to have the game of his life because Jacksonville's secondary struggles to defend the pass. And my thing with Jacksonville is, you know what this defense reminds me of? Remember that 2012 Bears defense, and they were getting like 2 and 3 takeaways per game?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's who they remind me of. And when you don't get that takeaway, then what are you doing as a defense? So it's almost like they're a little too reliant on the takeaway.
That's interesting.
Because think about it, Ryan. You're a defense, you know, the great defenses know how to beat you in different ways. They can stop the run. They can get after the passer. They can stop the pass. They can neutralize things. They can take away your biggest weapon. So if you know you lead the league in takeaways and you get a takeaway a game, you don't get that takeaway in that game, then what? You get what I'm saying?
Well, yeah. I mean, at some point, some players, it's going to fuck with their confidence.
Yeah, definitely. San Francisco, the bye week couldn't have come at a better time for them because you were without Trent Williams and you were without Deebo Samuel, and Deebo means a lot to this offense. I think he's the heart and soul of this entire football team. Jacksonville, they're the hottest team in the AFC right now behind Baltimore because Jacksonville's been able to really turn the page. You know, they're finally looking like a team that was projected to win the AFC South. One team enters with a 3-game losing streak. One team enters with a 5-game winning streak. I'm going with the 49ers. I think they snap that streak, and this is almost going to be a semi-home game for the 49ers because their fans travel deep.
You said the key word right there. Brock Purdy gets his security blanket back, and good old Deebo. Deebo's back, it looks like. He's off the injury report. So Deebo is back. That means Brock gets a security blanket back, and Deebo, God help him. To see if he's actually officially off. Yeah, he's off. It looks like he's off the. So he's going to be questionable going into next week. Going into this week, sorry. Yeah, give me the Niners. Right.
Yeah, give me the Niners.
All right. Next on the list is Christian, you are reviewing this game. The Browns take on the Ravens. Baltimore is a 6.5-point favorite. What's your keys to it?
So for Cleveland, that was a scrimmage the other day against the Arizona Cardinals. They got Deshaun Watson back. They didn't really need him to do too much because all they needed for him was to be in control. The problem that Cleveland has, they get into holes too early, and then they try to come back, and it's too late almost. Baltimore, man, this Baltimore team, this is the best I've seen them look since 2019, and I think this team is better than that. Like, Lamar, he's playing in control. They're running the ball. The Ravens are having fun, and there's no weakness on this football team. The secondary is much improved, and they're more mentally sound than what they were around this time last year because, remember, they used to build up 10-point leads, and they blow them in the fourth quarter. This defense throws a lot of different looks to you, and that's what I'm looking forward to seeing. You know, how does this Cleveland offensive line prepare for what this Baltimore defense is going to bring? I preview this one on Friday. Be on the lookout.
Brian?
Hold on. I got to find my shit.
Baltimore, Cleveland.
Give me Baltimore.
My worry is with this is, does Myles Garrett take over?
He doesn't have to.
But if Cleveland wants any chance of winning, I think if he can keep Lamar in check, it means a whole lot more, meaning keeping him in the box. If he can keep him in the tackle box, the Browns have a chance to win this game. I don't think that's gonna happen on occasion, but Lamar is gonna get his, and Lamar is gonna win the game. So give me Baltimore.
I think this game is gonna be a lot closer than it's expected because you have two of the great defenses going at it in this one. Don't be surprised if between 22 and 23 points ends up deciding this game.
All right. Next on the list, the Atlanta Falcons take on the Arizona Cardinals. Kyler Murray is starting for the Cardinals. Arizona is a one-point favorite.
I like Arizona. I don't know. Atlanta, they're just so hit or miss.
Yeah. John took Atlanta, by the way.
Yeah, I'm taking Arizona.
So, the thing is I'm going to take Atlanta because I honestly got it. This is the one thing. 90% of the time when a quarterback is, this is a high fade on Kyler Murray coming back at week one. This is his first week back. He's coming off the injury. He's going to need a little time to catch up to speed. I think this is the one game. I think the next game you're going to see is you're going to start seeing them being favored going into games. But I think the first week being back, I think Atlanta has the edge. Give me Atlanta.
You know, I might trend toward that, too. because, yeah, you know, Kyler's been out for so long. And it's going to take him a while to really get into that rhythm, right? I don't know, but my thing with the Falcons is they show those flashes and then they end up coming to reality. I mean, that was a game they should have won the other day against Minnesota, but nah, I'm sticking with it. I like the Atlanta Falcons. Okay. I mean, I like the...
Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, I like the Cardinals. Getting my birds confused.
All right, next game, 405 CBS, the Detroit Lions versus the LA Chargers. Detroit is a 3-point favorite. Give me the... Oh, go kick the bolts out and go fuck yourself. Give me Detroit.
Yeah, give me the Lions, man.
Yeah, I'm taking the Lions as well. I just think they have a little too much firepower on their offense. And Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa have a tough time against this Lions offensive line. They're going to run Jahmyr Gibbs. I really like what Sam LaPorta has been doing. Like, if C.J. Stroud weren't doing what he was doing, LaPorta would be my favorite to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. He's really become Jared Goff's safety valve and security blanket.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. John is also taking Detroit, so that's across the board. The murder. The 10-point favorite, the New York Giants, with DeVito as the starting quarterback. You might as well just put Barkley back there for the Wildcat. Because DeVito ain't going to do shit. Take it on the Cowboys.
I think the Giants are the worst team in football. And around this time last year, we were talking about the Giants and how Brian Daboll just came in and changed up the identity of this football team. The Cowboys, they always seem just to ascend to higher levels when they play the Giants, especially Dak Prescott. I think he's won 11 in a row now, dating back to week one this year. The Cowboys have too much firepower. I don't even think the Giants score in this game. They'll probably kick two field goals, maybe three at the most, and that's it. Dallas, this is a get-right game, and this couldn't come at a better time. And look, Dak played well enough to win that game the other day. It wasn't his fault. His receivers couldn't catch the ball.
Yeah, I don't think Tommy DeVito catches a fucking cold. Hey, how you doing?
How you doing?
Hey, little boy Blue. Hey, you needed the money. Oh!
Oh!
Oh, because guess what? The Giants are little boys, and they're gonna blow. Give me the Cowboys.
Yeah, give me the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Yep. Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker. Speaking of yippee-ki-yay, the commies take on the Seahawks. Seahawks are a 6.5-point favorite.
Seattle bounces back because that was embarrassing last week against the Ravens. You fly across the country only to score 3 points.
Yep. John is taking Seattle also. Say that again?
I didn't say anything.
Oh, I thought you said something. Sorry. Give me the Seahawks against the Commies. Who are you taking, Ray?
I'm going to take Seahawks.
All right. Sunday Night Football. The New York Jets take on the Las Vegas Raiders. It's a pick 'em. We'll get to Dave in 2 seconds. John is taking Vegas. Raider Dave! Hello, Raider Dave!
Hey, buddy.
Hello, Dave.
Christian.
Oh, wow.
So what happened to the Giant game last week? Because you couldn't make it to the game. Something happened to your car.
Something did happen to my car. I can't lie to you about that. So what happened?
Did you have a Molotov cocktail in there?
Shut the fuck up and let me talk.
Oh, go destroy your IKEA furniture.
I already did.
That's why your room smells like Swedish meatballs and pity?
The pity's for me. The Swedish meatball smell is gone.
Yeah, the Swedish meatballs were from me. Oh, shut up, Joanna!
Shut the fuck up.
No.
Yes.
Dave, the last time you came over, you said you were going to come back with camels. The only camels on me are the fucking humps in my back after you took care of it.
I don't even know how to respond to that. I come on the show, and I'm trying to be nice for once. Haven't taken a shot at any teams that I dislike. You asked me to tell you the story about the Giants game. Fuck Giants. And then you interrupt me. And then you bring out the whore.
Hey, who you calling a whore?
Calling you a whore, ma'am. You couldn't get you couldn't get Raider Dave hard, and not because I don't have balls.
I worked miracles before. They used to call me Jesus because anything I touched turned to stone.
Since you say you don't have balls, so you're pretty much implying you have a vagina.
No, there's a fleshy patch that the doctor shows closed after my nutsack got ripped off.
No. Christian, he identifies as a Ken doll.
Yeah, it's kind of like a Ken doll.
He identifies as a Ken doll.
I identify as a meat popsicle. Go fuck yourself.
Let's just not get canceled. No, that's my job. Shut up, Joanna.
It's definitely her job. Now, so I was on my way to the stadium. Gonna have a great time. I was all done up in my black and silver. I had my saddle helmet. I had my shoulder pads. I was Raider Day! And then all of a sudden, this fucking... I mean, for lack of a better word, Dago, fucking, his ID said Joey Wop, steps out in front of my car. So you know what Raider Dave did, right?
What did you do?
I fucking floored it. Because this motherfucker was wearing a Giants jersey and carrying a bowl of fucking fettuccine Alfredo like a big, fat Italian fuck Tony Montana wannabe fucking Soprano bitch. So, I'm on the run. I left Vegas. I took off, to somewhere in the Midwest.
Hold on. I got a better question for you, Dave. Did he have a sign on him just saying podcast next week?
His t-shirt said I'm on my way, but I don't know if it was to a podcast or the Country Kitchen Buffet.
He was going, I think he was trying to get to that that lobster buffet at Circa.
I mean, have you seen that show lately?
Which, going to that Cirque du Soleil dinner and a movie?
Dinner and performance theater, you want cultured swine.
And it still costs me money. It's better than watching The Mind Freak trying to live it.
It's slightly better than watching two flies fuck on a turn.
Did somebody say fuck?
Christian, look, I know we've had our differences in the past,
yes,
but I'm willing to put that all aside. If
yes,
you could, if you would be so kind as to make a presidential call and get this skank whore out of here.
All right, hold on. Barack Obama, how can I help you?
I need, what's the word, the presidential fucking, need you to sign some paperwork to ban the whore.
Okay.
And also, Raider Dave's birthday, a national holiday, and the Las Vegas Raiders, America's team.
Oh.
Don't take up for too much.
I'll call some people.
See, that's a good man right there, Ronnie. Good man right there. He was the coolest president we ever had. I mean, he kind of fucked me in the butt, but he was cool.
I mean, you think about it, the best part about the Oval Office is what Bill Clinton did in it.
Oval Office. Oval Office.
I know what I said.
Oh, dear Lord. This bitch gave the VPVD. Jesus Christ. You know, and I thought I had a bad life with my balls getting ripped off. Could you imagine being a snatch?
Yeah, well, my daughter has been living a good life. I don't speak with her. Oh, no.
You mean, you actually have a daughter? That's
yeah,
disgusting.
She made in the money. She made a person called the Saunders. Yeah, Vagina's been doing well for herself.
That's disgusting.
Hey, it could be worse. We have a grandmother in the family that's still alive, so we just gotta make sure the grandmother ends up not killing anybody either.
There's another generation of you.
Yeah, Granny Snitch. You know, it's a bit dusty, but...
Oh, God!
Because it looks... Talk about crop dusting. It looks like the Sahara Desert. That's why it's the best part about being in Vegas. No. Satan, go the fuck away. You're the reason Granny Snatch is still alive. You could have taken her months ago.
I was coming to take the bitch.
Listen, I am not going nowhere. You don't have anything filled up in that mini bar, and you want me to pay for it. Fuck you. I ain't going nowhere.
What if I told you it was full? Of all the children you've swallowed.
Then I have a lot of fucking kids and I need a lot of child support.
Well, no, you don't get the child support because you swallow it. You've eaten more children than Pennywise the Clown.
No, that you can call me Zeus's mother because that's the only...
You are directly responsible for more child death than McDonald's. I'm impressed. I'm a fan.
Then you know what? You better just call my throat to slip and slide.
Jesus Christ. We're on the air.
It's the only amusement park ride that kids can ride for free.
I know. What the fuck did I get summoned into?
Hey, you were the one that got the call, not me. I mean, unless that was President Barack Obama over there, I don't know.
No, it was Raider Dave. I'm pretty sure I have to revoke his privileges.
Well, then you have a conversation with Raider Dave. Right now, I'm just going to sit here and smoke my coals.
This is Dave.
What? I didn't do anything.
You said the words. And now I'm having to deal with Joanna again. How many times have I told you? Don't summon me to deal with her.
I didn't know what else to do. She won't leave. She just keeps running her cock holster.
Here's an idea. Go take
your job.
Listen.
Shut up.
If you want somebody to take the hell, take my mother's mother. That fucking whore's worse than me.
I should.
Yeah, take Granny back.
I'm not taking Granny back. That's not happening.
No, go ahead, do it. Because, you know, it's like throwing a hot dog down a hallway sometimes. There's no traction left on those tires.
An airplane hangar engine.
Yeah, fuck that. The flaps are more like bat wings.
Hey, you know what? I got a fun story about your grandma, Granny Badge, that ties in with my favorite fucking producer, Ron. Hey, Ronnie, are you still with us?
Yeah.
You've heard of the Jersey Devil? You ever seen any pictures of the Jersey Devil?
Yeah, just art drawings, but not really.
It's always just a dark outline, am I correct?
It's a dark outline that's got red eyes.
Yeah,
it looks like a
wolf. It looks like it's got wings. Those aren't wings. That was Granny Vag in her prime, and those wings were her vagina.
Oh, so that's why Weird New Jersey was so popular.
Oh, absolutely. Like, New Jersey's my personal joke. I filled out all the paperwork. He had to let me create that shit.
Well, like you said last week, Devil, there's nothing new about Jersey.
There's not. Although I do think I wasted my last Jersey calling destruction behavior with those Jersey Shore kids. They really failed me. Especially that Shore. She was supposed to fuck the entire world and get herpes and shit.
Listen, you ended up giving us Snooki, which means the WWE ended up having somebody that was actually competent. And then for 30 seconds after she got busted for allegedly sucking dick, a cameraman's dick in a broom closet.
No, that wasn't alleged. That was confirmed. I'm confirming it now. And way to go, Snooki. Way to fuck your way to the bottom.
She is a power bottom.
So proud of you. You were supposed to be my greatest man. You were supposed to be my chosen one. And you're fucking cameraman.
Now, listen. I understand that Joanna is the worst of the worst one there, but if you want to talk about a slip and slide. Snooki's throat's probably like woofa.
Oh, Ron. No, that's not correct.
Get out of here, Ivana. I'll bring your daughter over here too. You two can hash it out.
I mean, go ahead and you can bring the dumb bitch over. It'll be okay.
Hey, who you calling a dumb bitch?
I'm calling you a dumb bitch. You dumb bitch. Now shut the fuck up and let your mother talk.
No, your mother. My mother's talking. No, my mother's cocksucker's running, but I don't hear nothing.
Oh, do I? Do I come to your work and slap the dick out of your mouth? Why do you gotta do it to you?
Wouldn't it be the first time you did that. The last time, listen, I'm a better mother than you. I'm a better mother than you. My daughter married into fucking money.
Listen to me. Shut your mouth and listen to your mother.
Shut the fuck up, you fucking whore.
The last time that happened, you were in junior high school and it was your teacher, you dumb whore.
Yeah, you came in and fucked them three ways a Sunday, then tried to fuck the football team. They're all minors.
class, how else do you think you got your diploma? You spelled Rock R-O-K. Christian.
That's not how you spell it.
Then, darling, you do know that this dumb bitch spells bacon with a K.
What? That's not how you spell it?
Can't believe I bust retarded. I knew I was going to bust a whore, but a retarded whore.
I mean, I don't know who you're talking about being a whore. I slipped my way all the way to the top. And that means my daughter's now married into money, which means I get some of that too.
Middle, sweetheart. Slept your way to the middle. Wait, let me put this in terms you can understand with your big fancy wrestling. You slept your way to the lower mid card.
So you're calling me the Dolph Ziggler of whores, then, are we?
Went from a Kurt Jerker to a Dick Jerker.
And that means I'm still in a Royal Rumble. We're good.
I would rather watch the porno China made of the Royal Rumble.
Oh, Jesus. The fuck is wrong with you?
That Christian, that's how you shut up the whore. Get the fuck out of here. You done lost God.
Listen, the last time you tell a whore to take the cock out of her mouth to settle down, that usually never ends well.
Know how to handle. She's a dumb bitch.
Oh, really, really? Like your mother. Who's apparently on a corner somewhere trying to figure out where she's going.
Granny Vag is the thing. You know that line from the movie Anchorman about going back to your home on Oar Island? My mother discovered it.
Listen, at least if she's on her way here somehow, some way, at least we understand that she's delusional and senile. Hey, don't talk about my grandmother that way. Oh, shut the fuck, Joanna. Shut the fuck up, Joanna. She is senile, just like you're a whore and your mother's a whore. And I mean that as a compliment.
Tell me I'm an old whore, but the truth.
I mean, you blow out dust. Poof. I don't know what you want to say to me. Well, how about everybody leaves and we finish these fucking picks? Yeah, take Raider Dave with you.
Fuck you, Ronnie, go Raider!
Well, we know who Raider Dave's picking.
Wait,
you're still here? I thought you left when you had the chance, because then you didn't have to take anybody with you.
I don't have to take anybody with me now. I've literally just been sitting in the corner jerking off.
Watching Ivana give a Rick job?
No, absolutely not. I'm watching what's going on over in Palestine.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Don't use that name with me.
Oh, hey, Zeus in a half shell.
There you go. Now, if you gentlemen excuse me, I have to go shove some pineapples up some ass.
I think I will ask you, I will answer everybody's question going, what the fuck was that?
I don't know.
All I'll say is this. My name is Chris, and I wasn't in that. Not in this.
There's a family feud. They're drugging the devil. Raider Dave is apparently a fucking medium. And, is it just me? Did it sound like he said this stuff from Evil Dead?
Yeah.
I knew there was truth behind it.
All right, who's everyone taking? John's taking Vegas.
I'm taking Vegas.
Yeah.
Damn right.
Yeah.
Shut up, Raider Dave.
I'm taking
Fuck
Vegas.
You, Ryan. Fuck you.
I'm taking Vegas as well. I really like what Antonio Pierce is doing. He's brought new energy to this team, and that's exactly what the Raiders needed.
And now you're my best friend.
Well, I'm going to piss off Raider Dave. I'm actually going to take the Jets because of the sole fact that we do not, as much as the quarterback was a one, was made to look like he was a fucking Eli Manning against the Giants last week. Now there's tape on him. And the Jets defense is a thousand times better than the Giants. I think this game is a low-scoring game. I think this game ends 10-7 for the Jets.
I think the Jets go home with their ball bags in a sling, crying.
The only thing out of the only thing Dave, a ball bag and a sling was what they gave to you when you got into your accident.
You know what? Fuck you. I just ordered nudicles, bitch.
Nudicles?
Yeah, you ever heard of them? They're real things. Google it. I'm out of here. Fuck y'all, except for Christian. You're my boy.
Thank you.
Canadians are weird.
I don't even know if we can call him a Canadian at this point.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
That's my purse! All right, know you!
All right, final game. The final game, the Denver Broncos take on the Buffalo Bills. John's taking the Bills. Oh, yeah, this game is going to be boring. Give me Buffalo.
Yeah, Buffalo, they're such a weird team. Still having a tough time getting that running game going, depending on Josh Allen to do everything. Denver's played better as of late. And Buffalo plays down to the competition. And I see that happening on Monday night. I do think Buffalo wins, but Denver keeps it close.
Okay. Right?
Give me Denver.
Really? All right. Well, the question is on Monday night, would you intercept it? Would you intercept them?
I'd intercept it.
Come around here, kids. God damn it, Billy. Stop fucking around. Oh, all right. Those are our NFL picks. Anything else we want to bring to the forefront, or do we want to bring this into the station?
Just wrap it on up. Oh, Ronnie, did you still want to call the Eagles and Chiefs next week?
Why?
Is that next week? Oh, that's the week 11, right?
Yeah, the Monday night game.
I don't see why not.
All right, cool. I'll announce it next week.
Yep. Yeah, right? I was going to say, I think we're a little bit, we're ahead of our skis on this one.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to our show. Thank you, Joanna, Ivana, Raider Dave, and the devil himself. Thank God that Dom didn't show up this week.
Yeah, we always get lucky with him every now and then.
Yep. Oh, and if you like what you heard, follow us on all social media accounts under the Nerd Report Network. Follow us individually on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it, at F and Ronnie.
At DailyBlitz_61.
At StuntCockSTL.
And Raider Dave, STL. That needs to be a thing. Oh, and join us back here next week as we dive, like I said, dive deep into the good, the bad, and the what the fuck was that in the wild world of sports and sports betting. Stay tuned on the Nerdport Twitter as I start posting more picks and more possible show ideas in the near future. But with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to our show. If you like what you heard, tell your friends. If you didn't like what you hear,
go fuck yourself.
Tell your enemies, but until then, always remember to tell them two things. One, Bobby Bonilla is getting paid. And two, there is always a teachable moment. And if you don't believe me, then hell, that's just a fact of life. Yeah. Good night.
The giant horse cock can weigh up to 11 pounds.
Oh, God.